It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo, it is hump day, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter because you'll get first look at all the great stuff that we are doing. And go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. Great show planned for you today. We'll go through some headlines here in the first segment. Second segment, we will be talking with Tim McCormick. He is a district attorney candidate for Adams and Broomfield counties. These are such important races as we see what's happening in America. From our community safety standpoint, these are really, really important races. So it'll be good to talk with Tim McCormick in the second segment. Third and fourth segment, John Caldera with the president of the Independence Institute. We'll talk about a couple of tax issues that are on the ballot, as well as I needed to clarify for a number of you how the Trump tax cut actually became a tax revenue increaser for the state of Colorado. And I was trying to explain that to Jason McBride a few weeks ago, and I didn't have it quite right. So we're going to ask John Caldera about that as well. The I Am a Trumpster bus tour. We are going to have the kickoff very, very soon. So be sure and listen in because we will keep you updated on that as well. We raised the $10,000 that was necessary to get the vinyl wrap around the bus. That is being done as we speak. So be sure and stay tuned for that as well. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Of course, what has happened is fear has been used by those who want to take away our freedom via force. They're using fear. That's why we do this show, is to get our brains around these issues. I always like to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with, Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And you listeners, each of you, you're treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. Strive for excellence today. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. So, producer Steve, it's hump day. You've made it.
Yes, it is. And I'm so grateful for that camel and Geico. That Geico would let us borrow the camel every other Wednesday or so.
Yeah. So, we just need to continue to march on. We are marching towards this next election cycle big time. It's going to get real interesting now. Kamala Harris. Harris is the announced vice president pick for Joe Biden, and I'm somewhat relieved. I was concerned that it was going to be Michelle Obama, and I thought Michelle Obama would make it a much more difficult ticket. But Kamala Harris, she's got baggage. She's got baggage.
There's all kinds of tackiness out there already that, just picture Joe Biden says Kamala smelled the best.
Oh, gosh.
She passed the sniff test.
It's quite a ticket, that the Biden-Kamala Harris ticket. Kamala Harris, it's strategically a black woman. Certainly that plays to all the virtue signalers out there. However, this particular black woman has a lot of baggage. She's dishonest. One of the things, I know this is a small little thing, and I'm not sure any of you really noticed this, but when I was on city council from 2012 to 2016, I saw this movement. They called it transit-oriented development, that we were going to put people in these little boxes, these little apartment buildings. You can see it when you go down to Lone Tree. And you've got all of these apartments. People are going to live there. And Kamala Harris said, but we're going to make sure that there is a park within walking distance so that you can live in these little boxes. I mean, she didn't say that, but you can live in these little boxes. You can walk to the park, and that's what your life is going to be. This is an assault on the middle class. And I couldn't quite put my finger on it at that time, but it's becoming clearer and clearer with what is happening in America today. Marxism takes away the individual. And that is one of the reasons why I am so frustrated with this forced mask wearing, is you can't see people smile. You are taking away the individuality of people. But the other thing that it does is it takes away private property rights. It takes away property rights. And we've talked with Karen Levine, a RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor, about that, that home ownership allows people, people that have home ownership, they create more wealth for themselves. And during this COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption, they wouldn't let you go to the park. I stopped by Safeway the other day. They have all of the outside tables plastic wrapped, so you can't sit there, Steve. So Kamala Harris says, we're going to have a park within walking distance of this little box that you get to live in. But guess what? During the COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, they closed the parks to everyday people. You know, the elites, they still moved around. They went where they wanted to. And many of them got caught not doing what they were telling the rest of us to do. And I think that that is very telling about the kind of vision that she has. Is it's elites, it's the haves, the have-nots, and my gosh, you middle class, you guys are just, I can't even think of the words, but she doesn't respect the middle class. Where you go over to Donald Trump with all of his, all of his faults that are brought up on a regular basis, my gosh, you could do that. You know, if you wanted to focus on my faults, you have a lot to talk about as well. But I think he is a person that really cares about everyday, hardworking Americans. And you can see that in the six policies that we went over yesterday with those, things that he's putting out for his campaign. Steve, your comments?
Well, in a nutshell, going back to 2016, again, a very compressed outlook or looking at it. The left, or Hillary's contempt for the middle class, and only really caring about the East Coast and the left coast, it was Trump's, I'm at a loss for words. He resonated with the middle class, and they put him in office. So here we go again. So let's just see where it goes this time.
Well, and Ronald Reagan said back in 1964, we are at a time for choosing. And you take a look, Kamala Harris, San Francisco, it used to be one of the most beautiful cities in the world. And I don't know that I'll ever go back there. Denver is certainly used to be the queen city of the plains, that what they used to call her. We see what's happening. We'll go through some of these community safety issues with Tim McCormick in the second segment here. But I wanted to go to our quote today. Frederick Bastiat. He was a French economist, a writer, a prominent member of the French liberal school, a member of the French National Assembly. He developed the economic concept of opportunity cost and introduced the parable of the broken window. He was born in 1801. He died in 1850 at the age of 49. And he said this. He said, when plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men in a society, over the course of time, they create for themselves a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it. I thought that was very telling for what is going on here today. And, when we talk about freedom versus force, force versus freedom, it is never compassionate to take other people's stuff, whether it is with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or fear. And so we certainly have a time for choosing as we are looking at the issues that are facing us. I wanted to just mention something that I find absolutely terrifying. I got to get to this particular headline here. And that is, the doctor that is on Fox News all of the time. I know Patty has it right here. Anyway, I can't find it right here at my fingertips. But the doctor that is on Fox News on a regular basis, he said the other day that kids needed to start to wear little yellow buttons that said, I don't have my vaccines, and so don't hug me.
Yes, this was Dr. Mark Siegel with Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, I don't know why I can't find it right here. Oh, here we go. Yeah, Dr. Mark Siegel on Tucker Carlson on Monday night. He's a doctor. He's a Fox News contributor. And he suggested that children should wear yellow badges bearing the phrase, no hugs, please, if they've not received a COVID-19 vaccine. He's a frequent Fox News contributor, and he recently landed an exclusive interview with President Donald Trump. And he said that children were looking to parents for leadership and implied that wearing a yellow No Hugs Please badge would help in the fight against COVID-19. Now, you know, one of the issues that we have been all over is these forced vaccinations. My friends, the Marxist left has been playing long ball, and we have not even realized it. And back in 2019, where I read the forced vaccination bill that was being presented down here in Colorado at the legislature, I looked at that and I realized that there was real danger in that, because we would be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to dictate what we would put in our body. We would have to be forced to do that, never dreaming that what we would see now is the weaponization of these local health departments and our state health departments against everyday hardworking people, closing down businesses, using policy to close down businesses. At this particular point in time, Steve, I do not know anyone that has died from COVID. I know many of you have, and it's certainly, you know, it's heartbreaking. But on the other hand, I do know someone that's died from suicide. And there are these far-reaching effects from closing down businesses, the deaths of despair, which Pam Long highlighted or lowlighted in the op-ed that's on my website at this particular point in time. So Kamala Harris, and no, I don't think that we should be forcing kids to wear little yellow buttons that say no hugs, please. Children need hugs, and we need to be pushing back on this. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Hooters Restaurants is one of my valued partners. They have five locations here in Colorado: Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And, you know, we now have sports kind of, sort of. You can watch them on the show, on the television.
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
Kind of, sort of. And Hooters is a great place to do that. They have specials every Monday through Friday for happy hour. But from now until Friday, they are running a in-store fundraiser for Sacred Heart House of Denver. It's a local charity, and they help prevent single women and single moms and their children from homelessness. And the last day will be Friday, and guests will be able to donate at any of these locations, the five locations. And if you donate $15 or more, you can get your name on the wall. Patty and I were over there last week, and we did that. And so for more information, go to order.hooters.com. That's order.hooters.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Tim McCormick is district attorney candidate for Adams and Broomfield counties. These are such important races. Soros, George Soros, has been out there trying to buy these races. He was somewhat successful in the last election cycle. And that is why we need to make sure that we elect district attorneys that are putting justice before politics. So we will be right back with Tim McCormick.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get the first look at all of our guests, our op-eds, our Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast that we're rolling out each week. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. On the line with me is Tim McCormick, and he is a candidate for district attorney for Adams and Broomfield counties. And these races are among, I think, some of the most important races in the country. Tim McCormick, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Kim. It's good to talk to you again, and good morning to your listeners. Good morning, Adams and Broomfield County. Thank you for having me on.
Well, most definitely. Tim McCormick, safe communities are really what allows people or empowers people. I hate to say allow, because people have that right of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. But if you don't have safe communities, then and you're concerned about your businesses. You're concerned about your kids at school. You're concerned about, you know, having your kids go to soccer practice. You're concerned about walking down the sidewalk. It means that you can't go after your life, your liberty, and your pursuit of happiness. And what we are seeing in America right now is absolutely astounding. And so to have safe communities, you need to have responsible policing, and you need to have district attorneys that are not playing politics, that are searching for justice in each of these cases. So, you know, there's a lot going on. I wanted to ask you about Seattle. Seattle is on fire, if you will. And they have voted to defund their police. The police chief resigned yesterday. And it's important that people understand, if they're concerned about systemic racism, it's like, what is the system? And it's important that people understand that it is city councils and mayors that hire the police chiefs that put into the policy for their communities. And so it's important to ask, what is the system and who is in charge of the system? And it is really important to have district attorneys that are seeking justice. So what's your comments on what's going on in Seattle, Tim McCormick?
Well, boy, Kim, you know, even since the last time we talked, things seem to be changing all the time. You know, and you brought up a good point in the beginning. My top priority is public safety, and that's for you, your family, your neighbors and the residents that, you know, make up the communities that serve our jurisdiction. And we continue to see a significant increase in crime, be it property and burglaries and motor vehicle thefts, be it assaults, be it attempted murders, and be it actually homicides. I mean, even this last weekend, we had, I believe, 9 people, 6 of them are children, who were shot in a shooting down in Denver. A couple hours later, you had another drive-by shooting in Lakewood. And then I don't know if you're aware, but last night here, even in Brighton, you had a homicide where one person was killed. 3 people were sent to the hospital on what's alleged to have been an attack with a machete in an area that's a very quiet residential neighborhood where you wouldn't expect that to happen. So, you know, it's going on out there. And, you know, you commented on the break about the George Soros and how he tried to buy him off. There's a story a couple weeks ago about how it's very concerning. And when it's reported this way, that George Soros's investments are paying off. When you think of an investment paying off, that's for the benefit of you, the person who invested. This is not a benefit. These are activist DAs around the United States that are weaponizing the criminal law against law-abiding citizens and basically giving criminals a pat on the back and letting them go scot-free. And me personally, and I know several of my associates in the prosecution field, are getting a little tired of these DAs who swear an oath to uphold their office, uphold the Constitution of their respective state in the United States, coming out in these grandiose press conferences and talking about how they're not going to prosecute criminal law anymore. And it's very disappointing. But back to Seattle, when you talked about that, you're right. You know, it's the city council that votes on it, that does the interviews, then it's the mayor and the city manager who eventually appoint a police chief. And when you look at that situation in Seattle, it's just astounding to me that's allowed to go on. But I think when you talk about defunding, which you and I have had this conversation, you know, that's a non-starter. You simply can't do that. And if you dig into the story, because you have to dig past the mainstream media to find the actual facts of this, what they were talking about was cutting her salary, which she didn't have a problem with, but it was cutting off or trimming, if you will, a number of other officers. And this is a quote that she said. She had a hard time. She didn't have a problem with the budget cut. She had trouble with laying off the young officers, many of them minorities hired in part to improve the department's diversity. She's the first Black African-American female chief in the history of that department, and this is the kind of support she got. It's really concerning.
It truly is astounding. She's Black, she's a woman, she's a police chief. And so what happens here is it's not matching up with this narrative that you're seeing in the mainstream media. And, you know, Black Lives Matter, unfortunately, you can't say that all lives matter. Black lives, you know, they truly, truly do matter. But that care for, you know, that particular narrative has been co-opted by really thugs, if you will, that have used that to now get rid of the police. And that is one of the tenets of Marxism, is to get rid of the police, because then if the police are not there for keeping the peace and keeping people safe, then what happens? I mean, people need to start to think critically and say, what happens? Now, Tim, in every profession, there are bad actors. But we have a process in place in America it's due process to bring charges, bring the facts forward, and through due process, not through public opinion, as we saw the district attorney down in Atlanta, to use public opinion to try people. We have due process, and that is so important to the American idea, Tim McCormick.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've said this before, the criminal justice system, you know, it's run by humans, so there's always that aspect of human error in there. But, you know, it's a system that has to constantly be evaluated, and I think is always open to reform. But what I don't want to get lost is that for years, district attorneys have used that office to effect reform. We've done diversion program. We've done specialty courts. You bring a case to your office, you allow the process to work out, like you said, and give due process. And it's interesting you mentioned something about it being co-opted. And I've talked to friends who are part of the reform movement, if you will, not to that extreme. And they said the same thing, that their message has now been lost by this group that has moved in and taken over, if you will, the movement in order to affect the kind of change you want. Absolutely. You know, and maybe if it's if the police are on their radar to take them out, it's only a short trip to the suburbs to come after citizens.
Well, and you mentioned this. Nine News had reported this last week, and the Denver Police Department said nine people were injured by gunfire in a park during a shooting Sunday afternoon that is being investigated as a drive-by. And so when you start to have, you know, this movement to defund the police and to discredit the police, first of all, you don't have as many people signing up to want to have that be their career. So that's a subtle way of defunding the police or getting rid of the police. And if we don't have a reliable policing in our communities will not be as safe. A drive-by in Denver where six people were injured, I mean, it's really concerning. So, Tim McCormick, we are just about out of time. What's the final thought that you want to leave with our listeners, and how can people help you?
Well, one of the interesting things, too, we talked about that Atlanta DA, Mr. Howard. He lost, I believe it was yesterday, in the primary down there. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on that situation, that story down there. He's no longer going to be the district attorney down there after a while. He was beat by somebody who used to be in his office. You know, Kim, what we got to do is we just got to keep the faith. We got to keep moving forward. We got to support our first responders, the men and women of law enforcement. You know, in the meantime, we have to be able to protect our communities and look out for that. And, you know, the best way to find out more about our particular campaign, McCormick for DA, McCormickforda.com. And it's more important than ever. We're now 82 days away from the election in November. It's more important than ever. You say it all the time. I do, too. These DA races are very important. Not just up in the 17th, but over in the 1st, Jefferson and Gilpin, down in the 18th, which is Arapahoe and all those counties. It's very important. And, you know, we don't want to end up with activist DAs like we see around the United States, which are not concerned about public safety for their communities. So know your candidate, research them, know who's backing them and supporting them, and vote, most importantly of all.
Okay,
thank
Tim.
Thank you for having me on today.
You bet. We'll talk to you in a few weeks, Tim McCormick.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. Happy Wednesday.
Hey, happy Wednesday to you, Kim.
So what's going on in your life?
Well, kind of a crazy day yesterday. I don't know crazy, but the market took off very, very strongly early and looked like we were on the way to a really good day. And then late in the day, it turned around, Kim. The Dow gave back over a 300-point gain and turned it into about 100 points down. We also saw an increase in volume yesterday, so, you know, that was a distribution day there. NASDAQ also kind of started off up a little bit, but by the end of the day was down 185. So it looked like the market was trying to get going and then ran into a wall of profit taking. And then also gold and silver, which had both been just on fire here recently, they took a big drop yesterday as well. And I think, again, that was just some profit taking coming in and hitting.
Well, you know, and I think with the market so strong, it may make some sense to maybe, you know, pull back a little bit on that. So, Jason McBride, you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management are experts at sitting down and looking at people's portfolios and helping them with their economic prosperity. So people can give you a call at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one, Kim.
We'll be right back with John Caldera.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, kimmunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. That's where you get the first look at all of the upcoming guests, as well as our Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast and all of the op-eds that we are rolling out each week. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. We greatly appreciate that as well. I'm thrilled to have on the line with me John Caldera. He is the president of the Independence Institute. And he is, you know, one of those guys that was really on the forefront out there fighting for lower or limited government and to lower our taxes and for people to be able to go after their American dreams. So, John Caldera, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
So I have several things I'd like to talk with you about, but the first thing, I need your help in explaining something that I got incorrect. I hate to say that I was incorrect, but if we are...
I can't believe it.
If we're incorrect, we want to get it right. And I had gone through a presentation that you had made that explained that the Trump tax cuts really were not passed on to Coloradans. But I did not do a good job in explaining that. So help me, help my listeners understand that, John Caldera.
I think first it's important to understand that here in Colorado, we have grown part of our culture to believe that when we raise taxes, that we should have a vote of that, that people should approve whether or not they want their own taxes to go up. And it's part of the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, and it's really become part of Colorado culture. We like this. This is a good thing. When government's going to grow, we want to have some say in it. The problem is that our state government loves to raise our taxes, and our local governments too, love to raise our taxes without asking us. And they do that in all sorts of wonderful ways. Mostly they do it by raising what they call fees. So they just redo something that is that they call fees. So instead of raising taxes, they raise fees, and under Tabor, you don't have to ask for fees. And then there was something else that happened. Well, actually, I should tell you that you pay so much more in fees, billions of dollars more in fees. There's a hospital provider fee. There's a faster fee. So there's a bed tax and a car tax and a bridge tax and mill levy tax, all which we now pay over the years that we never voted for. And then there's one other thing. When Donald Trump lowered our federal taxes, we all thought that was a really good idea. And it overall is a great idea. But it turned out to be a massive tax revenue for the state of Colorado. And it sounds a little counterintuitive. Here's how it works. Colorado has a flat tax rate. It's 4.63%. And if you ever do your Colorado taxes, it tells you to go to your federal tax form first. And at the bottom of the page, it says, take your federal taxable income, the bottom of the first form, and put it at the top of our state form, and then multiply that by 4.63%. Well, when Donald Trump changed our tax code, that federal taxable income number in aggregate, it's different for different people, but in aggregate actually went up. Why? Because a lot of deductions were disallowed. That's not a problem on your federal income tax because you're applying that to a much lower tax rate. So in order for it to be revenue neutral in Colorado, they, the legislature, should have lowered our tax rate to match the cut in the federal tax rate. But they didn't do that. And because they didn't do that, Colorado is going to get hundreds of millions of dollars more a year. That is the state budget. So in aggregate, Coloradans are paying more in state taxes because of the Donald Trump tax cut. That's why we at the Independence Institute are putting something on the ballot this year to lower our flat tax rate just a little bit. One, we could use the boost we could use to something to energize our economy. But more importantly, the sneakiness by which they turned a good federal tax cut into a basic tax increase in Colorado is just devious. Jerry Sonnenberg, who's a state senator, put forward a bill to lower the tax rate, and it didn't even make it out of committee. So in other words, they knew they wanted more tax money. And I'm just getting tired of folks under that gold dome taking more of our money without asking.
Okay, so I want to make sure that I understand this now so that I get it right for my listeners. So under the Trump tax cut, they took away a number of the deductions, but yet didn't they raise the standard deduction significantly?
They did raise this standard deduction significantly. That's correct. But in aggregate, remember we're looking at thing about all Coloradans, on average, still people are that number is going up.
Okay.
And in fact, it's resulting in up to $900 million more to the state.
Wow. Okay, so what happens then is with the Trump tax cuts, a number of the deductions went away, so that number at the bottom of the federal tax form might in aggregate was higher for Coloradans, but yet the federal rate, tax rate had gone down, so that's where you get the tax cut. Then what you're saying, that number at the bottom of the form, on the federal form, goes over to the top of the Colorado form, and to make things actually work the way they should have, Colorado should have lowered our tax rate. They did not, so they received millions and millions of more money, and that is why the Independence Institute says, you know what, if that's the case, then let's lower income taxes. That seems to make perfect sense to me, John Caldera.
I'm looking at forecast from the Legislative Council. They suggest that in about 5 years, this is going to be bringing in $877.9, to be exact, million dollars in more tax money to the state. Now, keep in mind, it's not just about this one little trick that they use, because, man, they are so good at raising our taxes without asking.
Mm-hmm.
So Donald Trump's tax cut actually meant a tax windfall for the state of Colorado. But beyond that, this last session, they passed something called House Bill 1420. 1420 got rid of what some people call a bunch of tax loopholes, which is a nice thing to sound. But what they really did was they disallowed a lot of deductions for business losses. And it was a whole host of small tax changes, which result in about $200 million more in tax revenue coming to the state. Now, I don't think losing a lot of these tax loopholes were a bad idea. Some of them I very much disagree with. But then again, they did this so that they could raise taxes without voter approval. A couple of years ago, they passed the hospital provider fee. What's the hospital provider fee? It is a bed tax on every hospital stay. So when people are the sickest, they pay more to stay in the hospital. Now, how devious is this? This one just really, really angers me. They wrote into the law that when you go to the hospital and you're now paying an extra tax to go to the to be in that hospital bed, that extra charge cannot appear on your hospital bill. So it's written in a way so you don't even know that you're being taxed more while you're in the hospital. It is incorporated in your bill. And this way, when you get your hospital bill and you freak out at how expensive it is, who are you going to be angry with? You're going to be angry at the hospital, you know, and not the people who make the charge. It's really devious stuff. Last year, there was a bill to correct that and make it transparent. And over the years, I've screamed and every liberal I've talked to agreed, oh, well, yeah, of course it should be transparent. When it push came to shove to change the law, no Democrat would vote for it. It didn't get out of committee. So it's this kind of stuff that we've got to do something about. And that's why voting to lower our tax rate from 4.63 down to 4.55, it's just a small tax cut, to help invigorate our economy and to help people keep more of their own money, is important. It's also important for a companion initiative that will be on the ballot with us, which says if the state's going to play this little fee game on any fee more than $100 million a year, they have to ask us permission first. That's all. These are important, simple little reforms that I hope everyone supports this fall.
Well, you know, it really is just about good manners or consent. That if, in fact, these PBIs, these politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties want to tax us more, they just need to have the good manners to ask us. And I think that most Coloradans would agree with that, John Caldera.
You would think so. But they've done such a good job demonizing the taxpayer Bill of Rights. Now, for those who don't know, there's a lot of people coming to Colorado since 1992, so I can understand if they don't understand the history behind it. Colorado had a practice in the 80s of raising taxes and raising taxes and raising taxes. And finally, people had enough, and we passed the Taxpayer Bill of Rights. And you use the exact right word. It's consent. And those who dislike Tabor dislike consent. Under Tabor, Coloradans can have the largest government in the world. Every socialist can have whatever they want. You can go into debt until your great-great-great-great-grandchildren are broke. All you have to do is ask for consent. That's it. But the left despises financial consent. They despise consensual taxation. And so they keep finding these ways around it, and they want to destroy Tabor. And our courts have done a wonderful job in helping them do just that.
Okay, John Caldera, president of the Independence Institute. We're talking about some questions that will be on the ballot, very important questions about keeping more of our money and also making government have better manners and have them being accountable. So let's go to break. When we come back, we will continue the conversation with John Caldera. Before we do that, though, I want to say thank you to a new partner of mine, and that is Castlegate Knives. They're located in Sedalia, Colorado. and they offer all kinds of custom knives, unique folders, and fixed blades from the world's greatest makers. And they're not your average knife shop. I've been out there. It is really impressive. They have knives for collectors. They have great kitchen knives. I gave a great wedding gift of some beautiful steak knives from France. And so where other stores carry all the same old boring production knives, they carry unique custom knives from local Colorado makers and other top bladesmiths from around the world. So be sure and check out CastleGate.com. That's CastleGate.com. This is Kim Munson. We'll be right back with John Caldera.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there where you'll get the first look at all of our new guests, our Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast for the week, as well as our guest op-eds for that week as well. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. We would greatly appreciate that. On the line with me is John Caldera. He is the president of the Independence Institute, and they are on the forefront of standing for everyday, hardworking Coloradans, trying to protect our wallets, trying to protect our freedoms. And it is a tall order these days here in Colorado, John Caldera.
Well, it really is. I tell you, growing up in Colorado, Colorado was special, and you don't quite get it when you're a kid. But there was this feeling in Colorado of respect for liberty, this kind of respect for you do what you want to do, I do what I want to do. We both are working on our own dreams and plans, and we have the freedom to make our own decisions. And that's been replaced by this Californian culture of our job is to make decisions for other people. And I find it really sad. Let me just remind your listeners that they should go every day to CompleteColorado.com. We do a news service. We aggregate the statewide news every day at CompleteColorado.com, have our own investigative reporters. It's completely free, so you'll never run into a paywall, but it's just a good way to get all the big news stories of the day and know what's going on. And always check out our website for the Independence Institute. It's just thinkfreedom.com, because we really do want people to think freedom before they act. And before we want our politicians to vote yay or nay on bills, think freedom. I don't think Colorado is gone. I think what we're going through right now is this terrible aberration. But if we don't turn it around quickly, Colorado will be California. And I'm not looking forward to that.
Well, you know, in Coloradans, I did not grow up in Colorado, but I got here as fast as I could. And it was because of the rugged, individualistic spirit of Colorado. And so we are in a big tussle, as you mentioned, between big government and you know, making government bigger and bigger and bigger, or having people get into office or make decisions to make government smaller and smaller. And that's more difficult because people like to look to government to get other people's money to do the stuff that they want them to do. But I don't think Colorado is lost yet either. And in fact, I think the veil is off on what these policies are. And I think a lot of Coloradans are looking at this saying, you know what, I don't think I like it. And, you know, the fact that Governor Polis did not protect the people's house for 2 months, it sat down there just desecrated and defaced, I think can also show maybe the disrespect that he has for everyday hardworking Coloradans. And so I think the veil is off. I think it's a real opportunity.
It certainly tells you who he responds to, which was, do you protect the people's property and hack off the liberals and the wild progressives that are encouraged by this? And it really showed who he's scared of. You know, I can't imagine. I've known Jared for years. I'm sure he doesn't want the place destroyed, but he couldn't stand up to his own team. It's terrible what's going on in downtown Denver. It's terrible what's happening in San Francisco. It's terrible what's happening on the West Coast, and it's coming to Colorado. And to have a governor who won't stand up and enforce the law, well, that's your job. The buck stops with him, and he could have stopped that. I can't imagine that previous governors, Republicans and Democrats, would have ever allowed it. I drive by it every day, and it sickens me. It just absolutely sickens me.
Well, the last time we did one of our rallies, I remember standing on the west steps and looking up at the statue of the Union soldier, and I just, you know, I looked at it. I kind of took it for granted. There's a lot of things that I've taken for granted that I'm not going to in the future. But you know, they toppled that. I drove by the Capitol yesterday, and the pedestal that statue was on, it's been defaced. And I'm really astonished. Now, apparently they're cleaning it up now, but it's the taxpayers that are going to be paying for that. It's not going to be those that did the damage. And, you know, ideally, in true justice, is the people that damaged the property should have to pay for the property. Anyway.
One arrest. What I understand, there was only one arrest from all of that, which means you do it by impunity. And it's not just that. If your listeners are, you know, don't work in downtown Denver, they're not seeing it. They're not seeing the shanties that are being built up. I drive by the little tent cities that are popping up. And while they're meant to look like they're just the homeless who are there, and that's sad enough, you look and you realize, no, there's a different character there. There are people who are there to cause trouble. There are people there from Black Lives Matter and Occupy Wall Street types, and they're there to cause trouble. And as this election season goes on, I wouldn't be surprised if more trouble happens. And it's sad.
Well, I drove by the Brown Palace yesterday. I thought I'll just drive around downtown just to get an idea on. And one thing that somebody had mentioned to me, which I find so interesting, is that the city and county building has not been touched. And I just find that kind of interesting. We continue to bring that up. But I drove by the Brown Palace, you know, this beautiful jewel in downtown Denver. And there's still boards behind the windows. The windows have been broken. And, you know, I think we have a clear choice here this next election season. Are we going to vote for those who stand down and let this destruction and this defacement of property happen and continue to foment division? Or are we going to elect people that want everyday people to be able to go after their American dream and prosper and thrive? I mean, I think there's a clear decisions to be made this next election cycle, John Caldera.
Well, it's this election cycle, but it's every election cycle. And it's a decision of what we want our future to be. You know, Colorado was special. And I get it. As people are leaving downtown and with COVID, people are staying in their houses. They might not be seeing it, and they just watched on television. There's a pizza place I go to almost every day, grab a slice of pizza for lunch. And I now have to walk in the street in order to avoid the people who are sleeping on the sidewalks. the trash that is mounting, the needles, the vomit, the feces, the bottles, and this was our city, and we've just given it up. And I don't know if we'll ever get it back. You know, we're old enough to remember what New York City was like before Giuliani cleaned it up in the 70s and how awful that was. Is that what we want Colorado to be? You know, it's a decision we need to make. They're doing this for a reason. And a lot of this problem will go away, I say, 30 seconds after Donald Trump is unelected. Is that what they're doing this for? Are we going to stand for that? Are we going to be played like that? And why won't our leaders do something about this? Now, I feel sorry because the police are being baited, and mm-hmm. that's what we're doing with this, and I feel terrible about that. But the governor should take responsibility. It was his responsibility, plain and simple.
And we need to hold these representatives. I'm not calling them elected officials anymore. They're supposed to be representatives of the people, and we need to hold them accountable. We've got about 3 minutes, and there was one other thing that we wanted to make sure that people understood, and that was regarding Colorado's Taxpayer Bill of Rights, TABOR, and that how the courts have been used to try to circumvent it and gut it. So explain that, John Caldera.
Yeah, real fast. The Colorado courts have been able to reinterpret the Taxpayer Bill of Rights over its 25-plus years, and they've really weakened it. You know, Colorado, as we already mentioned, TABOR says if you're going to raise taxes, you can do so, but you have to ask for consent. The Colorado Supreme Court said if you call a tax increase a fee, then you don't need to ask for consent. Likewise, when we go into debt, we have to ask for permission. So the state or your local government must ask for permission to go into debt. Well, the Supreme Court of Colorado said you don't have to go ask for consent if you call debt a certificate of participation, what's known as a COP or a COP. And what is a certificate of participation? It's a fancy way of saying debt. Basically, instead of having a 20-year bond, you have 21-year bonds. So you have debt that is 1 year long and an agreement to do it 20 times over. And they say that gets around TABOR. TABOR says that if you want government to keep that excess revenue, the money above the TABOR limit, above population growth and inflation, you have to ask the people. And you can keep that money for up to 4 years. Well, the Colorado Supreme Court ruled that 4 years shall be interpreted as forever. And so now 80% plus of all of our municipalities have permanently debruced. That is, they have permanently said, we're going to keep all the excess money. So if we bring in these huge windfalls, we don't have to give it back. And we'll just continue to make our budget grow and grow and grow. And that's what they've been trying to do to the state. But fortunately, they've never been able to get the people to agree to a permanent debrucing. So what a shame. So the courts have weakened TABOR until it's just a skeleton of what it once was. And we need to protect it. You and I have been talking about keeping Colorado from turning into California. There are two wildly important foundations of policy we need to protect. One is our Taxpayer Bill of Rights. Inside the Taxpayer Bill of Rights is also our flat tax rate. And they have wanted to kill that forever. They want a progressive income tax system so we can be much more like New York or California, where we punish people who are more successful and chase them out of the state.
And Governor Cuomo just recently, I guess, was pleading for the millionaires and billionaires to come back.
Yeah, it's nice to say, please come back. He actually said, please come back. I'll buy you lunch. You know, I tell you what, instead of buying them lunch, lower their taxes and they come back. You know, if you're in Colorado and there was a tax proposal that fortunately did not make it to the ballot, which was going to double the income tax rate for the most productive Coloradans. Well, if you're a business being taxed at that rate, if you're a successful individual at that rate, why would you stay in Colorado when you could just go up north and pay no income tax, or go to Texas and pay no income tax, or go to Florida and pay no income tax? That's why people, why there's an exodus coming out of New York and an exodus coming out of California, because policies matter.
Well, policies really do matter. So final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners, John Caldera?
I'm going to need your help. I'm going to need your help this fall energizing our economy by lowering our taxes. There will be a tax cut on the ballot, and it will keep our tax rate a flat tax rate. It will fight back against all these taxes you never voted for and help return a little bit of that money back to you. So I hope you'll vote for that, and I hope you'll vote to require a popular vote on any fee increase. And it's time to start taking back and going on offense. And that's exactly what we're doing. So please get involved. Go to thinkfreedom.org. That's thinkfreedom.org. And help take back Colorado.
Well, I'm with you, John Caldera. So thank you so much. And again, that is thinkfreedom.org, thinkfreedom.org. And be sure and check out Complete Colorado as well. John Caldera, thank you so much.
Kim, thanks for everything you do.
You bet. Have a great day. And our quote for today is from Frederick Bastiat. He says, "Government is the great fiction through which everybody endeavors to live at the expense of everybody else." So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals and, like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry. But tell them if I don't survive, I was born free. I was born free. I was born free. The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM, AM 560 and